أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله الذي ليس لأوليته ابتداء ولا لأزليته انقضاء وانحسرت الأوصاف عن كنه معرفته وردعت عظمته العقول والذي لا تواري عنه سماء سماء ولا أرض أرضا ثم الصلاة والسلام والتحية والإكرام على سيد البطحاء سيد المرسلين والأنبياء أبي القاسم محمد المصطفى
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد
وعلى الجوهرة القدسية البتول العذراء سيدة النساء فاطمة الزهراء وعلى بعلها أمير المؤمنين وبنيها الذين أذهب الله عنهم الرجس وطهرهم تطهيرا لا سيما على بقية الله وحجته الكبرى الذي بيمنه رزق الورى وبوجوده ثبتت الأرض والسماء ولولاه لصاخت الأرض بأهلها واللعنة الدائمة على أعدائهم أجمعين من حين عداوتهم إلى قيام يوم الدين أما بعد فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى في كتاب في الحديث القدسي يا أحمد لولاك لما خلقت الأفلاك ولولا علي لما خلقتك ولولا فاطمة لما خلقتكما صلوات
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد
وقال أمير المؤمنين عليه الصلاة والسلام فالموت في حياتكم مقهورين والحياة في موتكم قاهرين صلوات We pay our ta'ziyat to the Imam of our time, Al-Hujjat ibn al-Hasan, Sahib al-Asr wa al-Zaman, Al-Imam al-Mahdi alayhi salatu wa salam, wa ajjalallahu ta'ala farajahu al-Sharif. As we are commemorating the martyrdom of his great mother, Sayyidatu Nisa'il Alameen, Fatimatu Zahra, Salamullahi Alayha. And our condolences to all the mu'mineen and mu'minat, especially all of you respectable brothers and sisters. And also, tonight we are commemorating the martyrdom of Ayatullah al-Uzma, Sayyid Baqir al-Sadr, and Shahida bintul Huda, Rahmatullahi alayhima. Two of the great personalities of Islam in our contemporary history. We have a hadith narrated in Ilal al-Shara'i, by Shaykh al-Saduq rahmatullahi alayh, where he says from Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salam, the Ravi is asking قُلْتُ لَهُ لِمَا سُمِّيَتْ فَاطِمَةُ الزَّهْرَاءِ زَهْرَاءً. Why is Fatimatu al-Zahra named as Zahra? And our sixth Imam replies فَقَالَ لِإِنَّ اللَّهَ عَزَّ وَجَلْ خَلَقَهَا مِن نُورِ عَظَمَتِهِ, because Allah created her from the nur of His azamat and greatness. فَلَمَّا أَشْرَقَتْ أَضَاءَتِ السَّمَاوَاتُ وَالْأَرْضُ, when this nur started to illuminate, when it illuminated heavens and earth were lighted up, illuminated with the nur of Hazrat Zahra salamullah alayha. Wa khashiyat wa khashiyat absarul malaika wa kharratil malaikatu kharrat sajidin. Angels of Allah got scared. Basically, they never saw this kind of noon in their life, and the angels dropped down into sajda. وَقَالُوا إِلَهَنَا وَسَيِّدَنَا مَا هَذَا النُّورِ. And they asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then what is this noor? And Allah replied, فَأَوْحَى اللَّهُ إِلَيْهِمْ هَذَا نُورٌ مِّن نُورِي. This is the noor from my noor. This is noor from basically from the Zat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Like Imam Sadiq alayhi salam had said in another hadith that in Allah khalaqani min zatihi wa ana ghayru munfasilin anhu. This is noor which is from the Zat of Allah, from His noor. Wa askantuhu fi sama'i. I have settled this noor in my heaven. خَلَقْتُهُ مِنْ عَظَمَتِي. I created the noor from my greatness. أُخْرِجُهُ مِنْ صُلْبِ نَبِيٍّ مِنْ أَنْبِيَائِي. And I'm going to take this noor out from the sulb of one of my prophets. أُفَضِّلُهُ عَلَى جَمِيعِ الْأَنْبِيَاءِ. And that prophet will be the most superior. Or another ihtimal in this hadith is that noor will be the most superior over all the rest of all the prophets. So definitely Rasulullah is most superior among all the anbiya. And according to the other ihtimal, if you return this dhamir and pronoun towards the noor of Hazrat Zahra salamullah alayha, then she is superior and afdal than all the anbiya. Obviously, other than Rasulullah, she is definitely afdal than the rest of the prophets of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We have other ahadith that inform us that كانت مفروضة الطاعة على جميع من خلق الله. That's the مضمون riwayah that she was, it was wajib on everything that Allah created. It was a farida on everything that Allah created to obey her. من الوحش والطير وال Anbiya, including the animals and the birds and the prophets and the angels, everything that Allah created, in other words, was obliged to obey her, is under the command of Hazrat Zahra salamullah alayha. So this again is informing us about the fact that the walayat and authority, walayatun takwiniyya of Hazrat Zahra salamullah alayha, is mutlaqa, is absolute in nature, which is engulfing everything that Allah created without exception. So definitely if you look at the tartib in fadilat, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam is the most superior. And Amir al-Mu'mineen, Imam Ali alayhi salam, is the second. And she is the kufu. She is the counterpart and the parallel for Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam. لَوْلَا أَنَّ آدَمْ تَزَوَّجَهَا مَا كَانَ لَهَا كُفٌ لَوْلَا أَنَّ أَمِيرُ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ تَزَوَّجَهَا مَا كَانَ لَهَا كُفٌ آدَمْ فَمَنْ دُونَهُ. If Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam didn't marry her, she would not have any counterpart from Adam till all those who are after him. So basically, she is the kufu of Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam, and definitely she is the one who deserves to be a parallel for Imam Ali alayhi salam. So her fadilat is proven over the rest of the 11 Imams. So she is afdal than the rest of the 11 Imams. And Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam is afdal than Hazrat Zahra salamullah alayha, and Rasulullah is afdal than Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam. So this is the sequence. O أخرجه من صلب نبي من أنبيائي وفضله على جميع الأنبياء وأخرج من ذلك النور أئمة. And I'm going to take out, Sheikh Saduq is narrating in Ilal al-Shara'i', that Allah said that I'm going to take out from that nur the أئمةً يقومون بأمري. That means the imams will be created from the nur of Hazrat Zahra salamullah alayha, who are going to stand for the amr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which is the walayat of Allah, the supremacy of the kalimatullah. يَهْدُونَ إِلَىٰ حَقِّي. They are going to guide towards my haqq. وَأَجْعَلُهُمْ خُلَفَائِي فِي أَرْضِ بَعْدَ إِنْقِضَائِ. I am going to make them my khulafa on in earth. Obviously, ba'da inqida'i wahyi, after the my wahyi and revelation ends. That means after Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, these imams will be the khulafa of Allah after the Prophet. So this is the reason what the sixth Imam is explaining, why she is called Az-Zahra, and this is how her nur has been glittering and filled up the heavens and earth, and the angels have already performed the sajda in front of that nur. The nur of Hazrat Zahra salamullah alayha has been, you know, in front of that nur, the angels have already dropped down in sajda. So this is the glitterness of this and the shine of that nur. And also we find that another narration from the Holy Prophet, again from Kitab al-Amali from Sheikh Saduq, where he says that أما ابنة فاطمة فإنها سيدة نساء العالمين من الأولين والآخرين وهي بضعة مني وهي نور عيني وهي ثمرة فؤادي وهي روحي التي بين جنبي. So Prophet is referring to Hazrat Zahra salamu alayha as his soul. So this, she is the soul of Rasulullah. She is the ruh of Rasulullah. And هي الحوراء الإنسية. She is the Hawra in the human form. Mata qamat fi mihrabha bayna yaday rabbiha. When she stands in the mihrab in front of her Lord, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, zahara nuruha li malaikati as-sama kama yazhar nuru al-kawakib li ahli al-ard. So her nur glitters for those who are in the heaven, like the nur of stars glitter for those who are on earth. And Imam al-Hasan alayhi salam has narrated that I saw my mother standing. Imam Hasan was obviously a child, and he is witnessing how his mother is doing the ibadat and in the mihrab, and he says that I saw رأيت أمي فاطمة عليه السلام قائمة في محرابها ليلة الجمعة فلم تزل راكعة ساجدة حتى انفلق عمود الصبح. I saw my mother Fatima, I saw Fatima عليه السلام standing in the mihrab doing the ruku and sajda till the time of morning came. In other words, وسمعتها تدعو للمؤمنين والمؤمنات. So this is the Nuraniyat. When we are discussing the Nuraniyat, this is how the Nuraniyat comes. So see, she has been doing the dua for the mu'mineen and mu'minat, وَتُسَمِّيهُمْ وَتُقْصِرُ الدُّعَاءَ لَهُمْ, and mentioning mu'mineen and mu'minat one by one, naming the people. One by one, she's mentioning the names of the people in the dua. وَتُقْصِرُ الدُّعَاءَ, and doing a lot of dua for them. وَلَا تَدْعُوا لِنَفْسِهَا. So throughout the night, Imam Hasan says he sees his mother standing, doing ruku and sujood and doing the dua and mentioning the mu'mineen and mu'minat, you know, one after the other with their names, without doing the dua for her own self. He is not praying for her own self. This is how Ahlul Bayt have been teaching us the adab of doing the dua and in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that we always bring the rest of the mu'mineen ahead of ourselves. And not just that, but in this hadith we are learning that she is not even praying for herself. All she is praying is for others. وَلَا تَدْعُوا لِنَفْسِهَا بِشَيْءٍ. She is not praying at all for herself. فَقُلْتُ يَا أُمَّهُ. I asked, oh my mother, لِمَا لَا تَدْعِينَ لِنَفْسِكِ كَمَا تَدْعِينَ لِغَيْرِكِ. Why are you not praying for yourself the way you are praying for others? And she replies back, يَا بُنَيَّ أَلْجَارْ ثُمَّ الدَّارْ. And she says that, my son, the neighbor and then the house. That means the neighbor first and the house comes second. So she is praying for the rest of the mu'mineen and mu'minat and ignoring her own self. This is the peak of isar that we learn in the seerat of Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam. And all the imams were like this, that they were praying for other mu'mineen and mu'minat and ignoring their own self and their own needs. Man kana fi hajate, the hadith says, man kana fi hajate akhihil mu'min kana Allahu fi hajatihi. Isn't it right? Whoever is in the hajat of his mu'min brother, Allah is in the hajat. That means whoever is caring, whoever is working, whoever is striving to fulfill the hawa'ij of his mu'min brother, Allah will take care of his hajat. So this is how we are supposed to do whenever we have a hajat towards Allah. The best policy that Islam teaches us in this case is that you think about fulfilling the hawa'ij of others. When you have any dua towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, think for yourself, which mu'min available in the community is such that I can help him? Instead of you asking Allah, oh Allah, fulfill my hajat. This is good. But this is not the seerat of Ahlul Bayt to do like this. When you have a hajat towards Allah, think for yourself, which mu'min in the community needs my help? Let me go and help him. Allah will automatically fulfill your hajat. This is how Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam were behaving, and this is what we learned from the seerat of Hazrat Zahra salamullahi alayha. Please say salawat. And look at how Allah is going to do. We have the hadith which is from Tafsir Furat al-Kufi from Imam al-Sajjad alayhi salam, where he says, إِذَا كَانَ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ نَادَى مُنَادٍ هَذِهِ فَاطِمَ بِنْتُ مُحَمَّدٍ صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم. When the day of judgment arrives, Imam al-Sajjad alayhi salam says, when the day of judgment arrives, that an announcer will announce, this is Fatima, daughter of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Tamurru bikum wa hiya wa man ma'aha ila al-jannah. So she is going to pass by you, and she and everyone with her is, you know, to the paradise. Thumma yursulullahu ilayha malakan fayaqul ya Fatima sabili ma shi'ti. And Allah is going to send an angel to Hazrat Zahra and ask and say to her that ask whatever you wish. And fatakul, and she is going to say, Ya Rabb, hajati an taghfira li wa man nasara wulli. So again we find in this case she is also mentioning all those people who have helped my children. That means they help the Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam. So she is praying for them. And tonight we are also commemorating a personality who has helped the Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam in their mission. Is that right? Every day you find scores of people are passing by and nobody cares about them. But when an alim who is the faqih of Ahlul Bayt passes away, the hadith says, إِذَا مَاتَ الْعَالِمْ سَلُمَ فِي الْإِسْلَامِ سُلْمَةً لَا يَسُبُّهَا شَيْءٌ. When an alim dies, a gap happens in Islam which nothing can fill it up. So definitely in our contemporary times we have witnessed that gap. An entire awareness in the country of Iraq that we witness today, all the awareness, the Sahwat al-Islamiyya, how we call it, all the Islamic awareness and the political awareness which is available in the country of Iraq, the reward goes to Imam Baqir al-Sadr rahmatullahi alayhi. He is responsible for that because he is the one who is the pioneer. He is the pioneer of the Islamic movement in our contemporary times. So we find that he had assigned envoys and representatives in every muhafaza, in every province and state of Iraq, and there where he was receiving the message from Imam al-Khumayni Ridwanullahi alayh, and distributing the message of Islam and the fariza in Allah and the duty towards Allah to all those areas where he had his representatives. That's how he had been spreading the awareness. It doesn't come free of cost. Isn't it right? So we find when there are people who are doing this kind of activity for, you know, for spreading the word of Ahlul Bayt alayhim salam, this is the khat of the blood. This is a red line, like Imam al-Khumayni radhiyallahu anhu used to say, the tariq of Shia is a red line of blood. We have been sacrificing and sacrificing and sacrificing and giving blood to protect this alam and this flag of Ahlul Bayt. We never let the flag of Ahlul Bayt to be put on the ground. This is how we did throughout the history. There have been, despite the fact that there have been people who were ignoring the farida of Allah with the uzr and excuses, there were some people who had the ghairat and sharaf, and they were noble enough to understand the ma'arif of Ahlul Bayt and Quran and fulfill their fariba. And because of those precious few people, we find those shuhada, we find the rest of the society benefited from the noor. So the hadith of Imam Ali al-Salam, which I recited in the beginning of my speech, that statement is one of the most glorious statements of Imam Ali al-Salam. Every statement is glorious from him, but this is really a unique statement and very amik, very deep, our scholars say. And so this is the statement which Imam Ali al-Salam said at the occasion of the Battle of Siffin. فَالْمَوْتُ فِي حَيَاتِكُمْ مَقْهُورِينَ وَالْحَيَاتُ فِي مَوْتِكُمْ قَاهِرِينَ. I wish our Islamic community understood this one hadith of Amir al-Mu'minin and they will become Sa'id and Sa'adat Mand in both the worlds. If any mu'min understands the meaning of this hadith and practices the meaning of this one hadith of Amir al-Mu'minin alayhi salam, he is guaranteed to succeed in both the worlds. It's such a glorious sentence. When did he say? He said the statement at the time when we find that Muawiyah had assigned his forces, Abu al-A'war al-Aslami la'natullahi alayh, he was assigned by Muawiyah on the river Furat. So now 40,000 soldiers are put in the command of Abu al-A'war al-Aslami by Muawiyah, so that the army of Imam Ali al-Salam cannot drink water from Furat. Imam Ali al-Salam's sunnah is that he doesn't start the battle without the Itmam al-Hujjat, isn't it right? Inviting people towards the Hidayah, towards guidance, towards Allah, towards the Haqq, always. Doesn't want to shed the blood of anyone. We stand for peace in Islam and justice. So Imam Ali al-Salam, as usual, as his sunnah and the sunnah of Rasulullah sends, he sends Sa'sa ibn Sawhan one of his companions for the nasihat. And he sent Sa'sat ibn Sawhan to Muawiyah as his envoy and sends this message. Sa'sa goes there and gives this message that well, first of all, before I come to that point, the putting a ban on water was advised by two people in the camp of Muawiyah. There were two people who advised that, although Amr ibn As was opposing this ban, you know, because he said to Muawiyah that this ban is not going to work, you know, very soon Ali is going to overcome you and then you will become helpless. So he was opposing to put the ban because of his own cunningness, but Muawiyah listened to the advice of two other people and he put the ban. So Muawiyah was so crooked in his nature that even people, some of his own people, advised him that stop the sub of Amir al-Mu'mineen, stop cursing of Imam Ali alayhi salam. Enough is enough, you have done so much already. And he said, no, I will continue to do this policy of cursing of Imam Ali alayhi salam till the children get older on this policy and the old people get used to of this policy of cursing Imam Ali alayhi salam. So he was that kind of cunning person. So that kind of cunning person is bound to give birth to a person like Yazid, who puts a ban on water for Imam Hussein alayhi salam. His father did the same thing. It's nothing new. Isn't it right? His father put a ban on water for Imam Ali alayhi salam and his army. Now 40,000 people are assigned there. Imam Ali is now sending Sa'sat ibn Sawhan for nasihat and itmam al-hujjat before the battle. That we don't start the battle, Sa'sa said to him, we don't start the battle without the Itmam al-Hujjat, fulfilling the evidence, and putting the ban on water is equal to waging the war. This means you have started the battle. Muawiyah doesn't care about this thing, isn't it right? Out of his crookedness, he doesn't care about that. And the same happened what Amr ibn Sa'd was suggesting earlier, that soon Imam Ali alayhi salam, his army, obviously when they went forward, 4,000 people in the command of Ash'as, 4,000 people in the command of Malik ibn al-Ashtar, and the rest of the people were with Imam Ali alayhi salam himself, and they continued to fight and Furat was freed. So at that occasion, when they had grabbed the river Furat and put the ban, this is the time when Imam Ali al-Salam said this glorious statement, "Fal mautu," before the battle starts, "Fal mautu fi hayatikum makhurin." If you people become maghlub, this is the zillat for you. This is an insult for you. That means if we do not fulfill our fariza towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and stay idle and allow the enemy and give them a free hand to do what they want to do, this is exactly what zillat is. Then you are dead people during your life. Even in your lifetime, you are dead. Wal hayatu fi mautikum qahirin. And if you stand for the izzat and sharaf of Islam, if you stand and you perform your fariza towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then even if you die, you are still going to live forever. Your life forever is guaranteed in your death if you perform your fariza towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In other words, this is a policy of life that Imam Ali alayhi salam has taught us. And this is the policy of life which we find was implemented by Shahira Bintul Huda and Imam Baqir Sadr rahmatullah alayhi, in a time where people are afraid to stand up against Saddam. There were some people who were afraid to do Nahi anil Munkar. Isn't it right? The similar policy for Muawiyah, we see the same. Imam Hussain alayhi salam, did Imam Hussain say that Sami'tu jaddi Rasulullah yaqul idha ra'aytum Muawiyah ala minbari fabqaru batnahu? Imam Hussain said, I heard my grandfather Rasulullah saying, if you see Muawiyah on my minbar, then kill him. وقد رآه أهل المدينة على المنبر فلم يبقوا فابتلاهم الله بيزيد الفاسق. And Imam Ali alayhi salam, in one of his statements, has also mentioned this point, which is mentioned in other words, that إِنَّهُ سَيَظْهَرُ عَلَيْكُمْ بَعْدِ رَجُلٌ رَحْبُ الْبَلْعُونَ مُنْدَحِقُ الْبَطْنِ يَأْكُلُ مَا يَجِدْ وَيَطْلُبُ مَا لَا يَجِدْ فَاقْتُلُوهُ وَلَنْ تَقْتُلُوهُ. In other words, that which our scholars are interpreted that he's talking about Muawiyah, that soon a person will appear who will have a wide neck and a big belly, and he's going to eat up whatever he finds, and he is going to seek what he does not find, he's still going to seek that, in other words. So you should kill him, but you are not going to kill him. So he knows what the people are going to do at the end of the day. He knows that. He had the ilmul ghaib. You should kill him, but you are not going to kill him. You're never going to kill him. So this is the pattern of behavior that you see. And this is why the nusrat of Allah has been lifted away. Is that right? Just like Imam Ali himself has said, فَلَمَّا رَأَ اللَّهُ صِدْقًا أَنزَلَ بِعَدُوِّنَا الْكَبْتِ وَأَنزَلَ عَلَيْنَا النَّصْرِ. Talking about the time of Rasulullah, when Allah saw the sidq, the truthfulness, Allah sent the zillat on our enemy and the nusrat on us. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who sends the nusrat when we perform our fariza towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Isn't it right? That's where you find the nusrat comes from Allah, not from us, not from anywhere else, not from any other country coming from the outside to help you. This is never going to happen. This is never going to happen. Nusrat comes from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Even if we are less in number, but we are supposed to focus on our fariza towards Allah. This is how we get the nusrat. So we find that this fariza have been taught, have been practiced by Sayyida Zahra salamullah alayha practically in her life, when the time which was such that you see that the haq of Amir al-Mu'mineen has been taken away. And not just that, but Imam Ali alayhi salam, when he used to say salam, people are not ready to reply back the salam to him. Can you imagine the time, this kind of time arrives in the city of Medina, that people don't reply back to the salam of Imam Ali alayhi salam. All those ahadith, all those manaqib and fada'il that they have heard directly from Rasulullah, isn't that right? So these are the lessons that we learn from the history. These are lessons that we learned. We talk about Allahumma ajjil fi faraj maulana sahib al-zaman. What are we behaving towards the leadership? Did we understand the walayat? Are we practicing our fariza towards Allah? This is the question we need to ask when we discuss the fada'il and manaqib and the mawqif of Hazrat Zahra and Amir al-Mu'mineen and the rest of the Imams. This is the question we need to ask ourselves on these occasions. Then how are we behaving towards the Imam of our time? So we find that the masaib of Hazrat Zahra salamullah alayha were such. Prophet had already prophesied it, and he was crying, and the tears were falling over his beard. And when he was asked about the reason why Prophet was crying, Prophet said, I'm crying, which I'm paraphrasing all these narrations in my words, I'm crying for my children, what is going to happen to them through the ummah. That means what my ummah is going to do to my children. As if I see that they're doing zulm over Fatima, and she's crying, Ya Abatah, and nobody comes for her help. Isn't it right? Prophet has already said in his hadith, Man sami'a munadiyan yunadi ya lal muslimin falam yujibhu falaysa bi muslimin. Whoever hears the call of a Muslim saying, calling for help, "Oh Muslims, come for my help." Right? And he doesn't respond, he's not a Muslim. And sometimes you can call for help orally, lisaniyan. Sometimes you don't have the chance to call orally, isn't it right? So this is what Imam Khomeini used to say. When people are saying, "Why don't you accept the sulh? Why don't you accept the sulh with Saddam?" And this is what he said. "Don't you hear the voice of these thousands and thousands of mazloom people in the prisons of Iraq? Are they not saying amaliyan? Are they not practically shouting and saying, 'Ya al Muslimin'?" What else is the meaning of the hadith of Rasulullah? Are we deceiving ourselves? You don't have to practically, you don't have to orally say it. Your whole existence is shouting wide and loud and clear that you need the help, isn't it right? This is required ghairat of a person to get killed to say, "I don't hear it." This person is spiritually dead. Who says, "I don't hear it," he is a dead person. He has no ghairat and no haya and no sharaf and no izzat. Al-mu'minu aziz. Isn't it right? فَلِلَّهِ الْعِزَّةِ وَلِرَسُولِهِ وَلِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ إِنَّ اللَّهَ فَوَّضَ إِلَى الْمُؤْمِنِ أُمُورَهُ كُلَّهَا وَلَمْ يُفَوِّضْ إِلَيْهِ أَنْ يُذِلَّ نَفْسَهُ. Allah submitted all the affairs to the mu'min, but did not submit to insult his own self. Our izzat is the amanat of Allah that we need to protect. Hazrat Zahra started to cry when she heard, and Prophet asked, and she said, "I'm not crying for what is going to be done to me after you. I'm crying on the mufaraqat. I'm getting that we are getting separated. I'm getting separated from you," in other words. And then Prophet gave her the basharat, the good news, that you will be the first person among my Ahlul Bayt to join me. That means after the departure of Rasulullah, Hazrat Zahra will be the first member of Ahlul Bayt to depart this world and join Rasulullah. So this is in the age of 18, Hazrat Zahra salamullah alayha becomes Shaheeda. She departs this world in the age of 18. And in this short period of time, 75 days or in some narrations 90 days after the Shahadat of Rasulullah, this short duration, so much masaib came on Hazrat Zahra that she has said herself that subbat alayya masaibun law annaha subbat alal ayyame sirna layaliya. So much masaib came upon me that if had it had fallen over the day, it would have days would have been converted into nights.
Fall over days.
So much masaib. And she used to go to the Baytul Ahzan. She used to go to the house that Imam Ali made for her, that place that Imam Ali made for her to go and cry with Hassan and Hussein alayhi salam. And so she can cry there. She's part of the Bakka'un, Al-Bakka'una Khamsa, part of the five personalities in the history who cried the most. She's one of those five. And she's the one who is going from house to house to run the campaign for the walayat of the wali of her time, which is Amir al-Mu'mineen, against the Tahut, to stand and doing the nahi anil munkar and not staying sakit. Al-sakitu anil haq shaitanun akhras. Is that right? She is not saying sakit. She is doing the qiyam. She is doing the jihad. She is doing the campaign for the walayat of Imam Ali alayhi salam. This is the jihad of Hazrat Zahra salamullah alayha. And now we find that when the time comes closer for her shahadat, obviously we find that this, the daughter of Rasulullah, who is the bad'atun minni, she is part of Rasulullah. Ruhiya allati bayna jambayya. She is the soul of Rasulullah, but she comes between, the zalim person comes and crushes the door. Then her Zahra comes between the door and the wall. And she is being slapped on the face. And she finds that she receives the injury on her side. And she falls down in that injury. and we find that her child Mohsin, because is there's a miscarriage taking place, Mohsin becomes shaheed. This is the injury, but she didn't tell Imam Ali alayhi salam. Look at the sabr of Hazrat Zahra. Look at the sabr of Hazrat Zahra. She didn't tell Imam Ali alayhi salam. She's doing the sabr, all that sabr. And Imam Ali alayhi salam says this statement to Rasulullah, Satunabbi'uka ibnatuka bittawafuri ummatika ala hadmiha. Soon your daughter is going to tell you how your ummah was trying to basically do that kind of hazm and zulm upon her. In other words, we find that Hazrat Zahra, you know, she, when she hears from Asma bint Umais about the taboot that they used to make in Habsha, she became so happy about that, and she did her wasiyat that her janaza should be carried in that nash, in that taboot. Look at the haya of Hazrat Zahra sallallahu alayhi. And in her wasiyat, she already said to Imam Ali alayhi salam to carry her to do the dafn of the janaza in the night time. And in her wasiyat, she said to the first wasiyat to marry Imama, because she is good towards Hassan and Hussein alayhi salam, like me. In other words, and to not to allow anyone who did zulm upon me to be part of the tashiyul janazah. In other words, and they are the enemy of Allah. They are the enemy of Rasulullah. They cannot be part of the funeral of Hazrat Zahra herself. And the janazah be carried in the night time. And the Janaa Imam Ali fulfilled the wasiyat. He made seven qubur around the qabr of Hazrat Zahra. So we don't know, the grave of Hazrat Zahra is still unknown. Al-majhulati qabruha. Don't we say in the ziyarat of Hazrat Zahra that her qabr is majhul, is unknown? This is one of the blessings we will get when the zuhur happens, that we discover the qabr of Hazrat Zahra. Al-majhulati qabruha. So we find seven graves were made by Imam Ali around her grave to hide the grave of Hazrat Zahra sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And we find the janazah. In the janazah, there were only very selected people who were present. Some of the muqarrab people and ashab and selected people who were present. And the Bani Hashim who participated in the night time. And no one else was allowed. And when Imam Ali alayhi salam was putting the janazah of Hazrat Zahra in the qabr, two hands appeared similar to the hands of Rasulullah to receive this amanat of Allah. And these hands received the janazah of Zahra sallallahu alayha inside the qabr. You know, this is how Imam Ali alayhi salam is giving back Hazrat Zahra to Rasulullah and to his hands. And we find that Imam Ali alayhi salam, there is no one who can provide a condolence, and there is no cure for this pain for Imam Ali alayhi salam, mufarqat of a wife like Hazrat Zahra. Definitely there is no one to provide any cure for this pain. But I would definitely like to say to Hazrat Zahra that we have a janazah of your son in Karbala, and there are several differences between your janazah and the janazah of your child, your son Imam al-Hussein. There are several differences. First of all, in your janazah, there were selected people present who are part of the tashiyul janazah, and Imam Ali alayhi salam and the Bani Hashim. But in the janazah of Abi Abdullah al-Hussein, there is nobody present at all. His janazah is lying over the maidan of Karbala in the maqtal. And Sayyidah Zainab says, تَقَبَّلْ مِنَّا هَذَا الْقُرْبَانِ هَذَا حُسَيْنٌ مُرَمَّنٌ بِالدِّمَاءِ مُقَتَّعُ الْأَعْضَاءِ وَبَنَاتُكَ السَّبَايَا. This is Hazrat Hussein. This is Hussein. He, you know, he's full of blood and his body is cut into pieces. So we find, you know, that in the janazah of Al-Zahra, there was a tashiyul janazah taking place in the night. But there is no tashiyul janazah for Imam al-Hussein. There was a qabr made by Imam Ali alayhi salam. When it comes to Imam al-Hussein, there is no qabr made for Imam al-Hussein. Nobody can crush the janazah under the hooves of the horses. Because Imam Ali is there. But I find in Maqtal, in Imam al-Hussein's Maqtal, we find that Imam Hussein, that the janazah of the rest of the shuhada were taken away by the Asha'ir and Qaba'ir. The only janazah which is lying there in the Maidan of Karbala is that of Hussein ibn Ali, to be crushed under the hooves of the horses. We find that the kafan of Hazrat Zahra, another difference is that the kafan of Hazrat Zahra was provided by Imam Ali, and her kafan was safe, alhamdulillah. But for Imam al-Hussein, there is nobody to provide the kafan for Imam al-Hussein. We find instead Maslub al-Amamata wal-Rida. The Amama of Imam Hussein was taken away. The Rida, the dress of Imam Hussein, was looted away.
Ala la'natullah ala al-qawm al-zalimin. وسيعلم الذين ظلموا أي منقلب ينقلبون إنا لله وإنا إليه راجعون إلهي بحق الصحراء وأبيها وبعلها وبنيها والسر المستوضع فيها يا الله 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 اللهم انصر الإسلام والمسلمين واخذل الكفار والمنافقين اللهم انصر من نصر الدين واخذل من خذل المسلمين اللهم انصر واحفظ وأيد علماءنا الربانيين ومراجعنا الربانيين لا سيما الولي الفقيه قائد المسلمين اللهم انصر جيوش المسلمين وعساكر الموحدين اللهم فك عن الأسراء المسلمين اللهم وفقنا لما تحب وترضاه وعجل في فرج مولانا صاحب الزمان واجعلنا من أنصاره وأشياعه وأتباعه وأعوانه بجاه محمد وآله الطاهرين
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد